Let us now turn to Genesis and chapter 18 and verse 25. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. Abraham's pleading with God that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Particularly these last words, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I want to start a short series of sermons on justification. I believe that justification is the touchstone of true biblical Christianity. We used to say that justification was the article of a standing or a falling church. And I want to just spend a few Sabbaths on this subject, because I think it is of the greatest importance, not just to the believer, but also to the unbeliever. This is something of the greatest possible importance. Now, justification is rooted in the nature of God, as revealed in Scripture, and especially in his righteousness. I've often told you about very good advice I had as a student from an older minister when I brought him a certain problem. And he said to me, he heard the words from me often, Alan, he says, always trace your question or problem back to the nature of God. And that is what we must do with justification. It must be rooted in the nature of God, and especially in his righteousness. Now the context here is Abraham pleading with God before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, these two wicked cities, pleading for his nephew Lot that he would be spared. Pleads for him over and over again, although he does not actually mention his name. But it is clear that that is what is in his mind. Because his nephew Lot, although he chose to make his dwelling place in Sodom, the Bible makes it clear that he was a believer, that indeed he was a righteous man in the eyes of God. And Abraham is here pleading for him, and notice what he bases his plea on. He bases his prayer on the righteousness of God. His argument is, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And I tell you this, that it is but a step from this plea to what is the basis of justification. Basis of justification is that God, the righteous, the judge of all the earth, shall do right. He shall do right because he can do none other but do right. That the judge of all the earth will do right both in judgment and also in every aspect of the great salvation which he has provided for us in Jesus Christ. God has not only provided salvation, he has not only provided a remedy for sinners to escape the day of his wrath, but he has provided a guaranteed salvation. He has provided us salvation which is utterly impregnable. It cannot be wrecked. It cannot be destroyed, because it is again rooted in his own nature and especially in his righteousness. Because the bedrock of that guaranteed and impregnable salvation, its very bedrock, is God's own utter and unchangeable and unchanging righteousness. God is one in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All the immense benevolence of God, all his love and all his mercy could not guarantee such a salvation. Indeed, the nature of salvation is that it is not based just on the benevolence of God, or not just based on the pardon of God, or based on the mercy of God, to the exclusion of his righteousness. All these things are in the nature of God. But salvation which is based on the love of God, or the mercy, or so on and so forth, to the exclusion of God's righteousness, is not the biblical salvation. It must be based on the righteousness of God. If it were based on simply the love or the mercy or the benevolence of God, then God would require to set his righteousness aside. It would require him to just put the problem of sin just aside and just deal with sinners just on the basis of benevolence or love or mercy. And it is impossible for God to set his righteousness aside. But in justification, God, rather than do anything remotely like setting his righteousness aside or setting any part of his nature aside, rather than that, far from that, what God does is he actually stands his salvation on his righteousness. He founds it upon that. Because of the importance of this doctrine of justification, I intend to take this doctrine bit by bit, so that we can build up our understanding of it. Now, there will necessarily be a certain amount of overlapping, because all the aspects of justification are interconnected. So please bear with the occasional overlapping and repetition, which will be in these sermons. Look on it rather as reinforcement of what is taught. When we speak about being justified, we are speaking simply about being saved. There is only one way that a sinner can be saved, and that is to be justified in the eyes of God, justified in the court of God, justified in the judgment of God. Now today I want to begin by looking at one aspect of justification. Perhaps it's most important in some ways, and it certainly is the one thing which distinguishes justification from anything else, and that is that Justification is the declaration by God that a certain sinner is righteous. Each one individually, not en masse, but each person must be justified, declared righteous by God. That's what we concentrate on today. And I want to begin by saying this, that justification, this justification by God's declaration, has reference only to sinners. Nowhere does it say that God justifies the righteous. It says that He justifies the sinner, that He justifies the ungodly. So justification only has reference to sinners. Now you might ask the question at this point, does that mean that it's good to be a sinner? The answer is no. There is a sense in which a sinner only has regret and sorrow for his sin. And yet before God, that sinner who has that regret and who has that sorrow and who is conscious of his guilt before God, that sinner is by his very knowledge and admission of that in a privileged position before God. Because, not because of his guilt, but because it is for him, not for the righteous, that God has made this immense, colossal, magnificent provision in this salvation. And I'm not exaggerating. This salvation is something absolutely immense. It is stupendous the way that God has gone about it. And all through it, He has remained Himself unchanged. He is the righteous God, the judge of all the earth, who will in all circumstances and at all times be righteous. It has reference only to sinners. And only to what, for the lack of a better term to describe it, for undiluted sinners. All sinners whose sin they have not diluted in any way. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean this, that a sinner does have the tendency, because he is a sinner, he has a natural tendency to minimize his sin. He has a tendency to think of his sins merely as little sins. And if he has major sins, then he looks on it as just an occasional lapse. Or else he might tend to just balance his sin against something else. Perhaps against good works. Self-improvement, or self-sacrifice, or service to God and to the church, in lieu of, or in place of, or in mitigation of his sin. That is the sinner's way. That is the tendency, and we have to face up to that. We always try and work up some credit for ourselves with God. God justifies sinners simply
sinners. Not lesser sinners. Not improved sinners. Not sinners with credit, but simply sinners. Now, why do I have to emphasize that? Because the tendency that is naturally in us to lessen the sin or to mix something in with it, like our own credit or our own service or something like that. These things are like, they are like things like that contaminate. Now it's maybe strange for me to talk about contaminating sin. That's not really what I mean. What I mean is this. That when we come to God as sinners, and the relationship is of the guilty before the righteous judge, that relationship is contaminated the moment we seek to mitigate our sin. The relationship tends to break down. Now, our example here is David after his sin. Now, I know it was a major sin, but listen to his words. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. God justifies simply the sinner. Not the improved sinner, but the simple sinner, if there's such a thing. Sinner which says to himself, there is nothing that can lessen the stain. And if I do anything to lessen the stain, then it is an offence to God, because it is suggesting that my sin is not such an offence to God. That is something we must never do. We can close the door on ourselves to being saved the moment we start mitigating and lessening our sin. The relationship between us and God as sinners immediately deteriorates the moment we start to make the sin less than what it is. David's desire was that it would be clear, that his guilt would be clear, that when God judged, that he would be judged, he would judge justifiably and in absolute clarity. God justifies the ungodly, justifies the sinner, justifies even the chief of sinners. Secondly, we have to look at what justification is not. In order sometimes to emphasize the positive, we have to highlight the negative. This is particularly important today in view of the different view of justification which the Roman Catholic Church has. Justification is not being made righteous. That's the view of the Roman Catholic Church. Justification is being made righteous. Something is made or done to the person or in the person to make them righteous. So they confuse justification and another doctrine called sanctification. Now the Confession of Faith is very clear on this. That it is not, justification is not
on the basis of anything done by you. And it is not on the basis of anything done in you. That it is something which is done outside of you. And that's the thing about justification, that there is nothing internal whatsoever in justification. It is all external to us. We cannot overemphasize that. It is, I repeat, nothing done in us, nothing internal, nothing done on us, but it is all external. It is God's declaration. This happens at the judgment of God, in His court, with Him on the throne. There is where justification takes place. You might say it doesn't take place on this earth, although it is the sinner who is justified. But the declaration is from heaven. There is a caution here, which is again in the confession of faith. And it may seem a strange one at first. That it is not even our faith that is the basis of justification. That it is not the act of believing. Now that's again very, very important. Because sometimes we hear people talking about their faith. And people say, well, I have a strong faith anyway. When they're facing difficulty. Or when things are looking bad. Well, I'm glad I have a strong faith. And they are speaking as if there was something here to their credit. Faith itself, even faith, must not be looked on as something which is to our credit. It is a means used by God in our justification, and we shall look at that later on, not today, but at a later date. But it must not be looked on as something to our credit. Something that gives us a step on the ladder to our justification. Now these are very, very important things. That we put these things right out of the picture. Justification is not these things at all. They must not be. They must not be even in part. Even a particle of that ruins it. It contaminates the whole thing. Justification is not being made righteous before God. Thirdly then, what is justification? What is it? It is simply being declared righteous by the great judge of all the earth. In his quarters. In the dock before him. The great judge of all the earth declares that sinner righteous. Not a declaration or a ruling by the church. Or by session. We must never ever think that our acceptance as members in the church indicates that we are justified before God. Never ever think that. We must be justified before God. And it is on the basis of that that we seek membership. Membership is for saved people. Becoming members is not going to save them. So justification is declaration not by the church, not by the Kirk session,
not by minister, nor by evangelist, or by counselor, or by priest. It's a declaration from the highest court of all, from the great judge of all the earth, from the great judge of all the earth, who will do right and who cannot do wrong. That's what we must keep before us. So, we sometimes speak about the mechanics of salvation, how it works. We sometimes say that substitution is the mechanics of salvation. That is the way that God ordered it, the way that God did it. Perhaps it's not the best of terms. But if we were to transfer the term to justification, the mechanics of justification is that it is a declaration by God, external to us. Nothing internal in it at all, but just the declaration by God. He is the judge of all the earth. And in justification, he gives his verdict. And that is the final verdict. Because there is no higher court. There is no court of appeal. It is simply the last place, the highest place of all, as far as judgment is concerned. This verdict is twofold, as we shall see. And there is no doubt at all that for the sinner, both these are important, but we always put them in this order. That the verdict is not guilty, but declared righteous. These things are not exactly the same, as we shall see later on. We shall see how these things are not the same. But basically, that is the declaration of the great judge upon the simple sinner, the undiluted sinner, the sinner who has no desire or inclination to dilute his sin, who is just before God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Against thee, the only have I sinned. God gives his declaration. Verdict, not guilty. And righteous. Before me, not guilty, but righteous. Not in the sight of man, but in the sight of the church, but in his own sight, in his own court, the final one. That's the verdict. That's what justification is. The declaration is irrevocable. Sometimes, in fact, only this past week, met a man freed from prison. He had been in prison for 27 years because of what seems to be a miscarriage of justice. Decision was revoked. The sentence was revoked. The verdict was revoked. This verdict will never be revoked. Not after 27 years or 27,000 million years. It will never be revoked. Once saved, forever saved. Once justified,
forever justified. To put these together, once saved, forever saved. Because the salvation is not just salvaging, but it is justification, declared righteous by the judge of all the earth, who will do right. Now fourthly and finally, what about shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Because you may have a question. And indeed I would hope you would have a question. It would be good if you had a question. Question would be, how come if he shall do right? How can he just declare the sinner righteous? If you see that, then you are seeing light. My answer to your question, how? My answer is, how indeed? Only one way. Why only one way? Because of the righteousness of God. Judge of all the earth will do right. He will justify the sinner. But he will only do it one way. That is on the basis of the substitutionary work and death and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Next week, God willing, we will look at that aspect of justification. I would like you to think today that I was just making out that God would justify the sinner just by simple declaration and again setting his righteousness aside, because the judge of all the earth would do right. If you have my question, then that's what you've noticed. You caught on to that. How does that declaration uphold the righteousness of God? Well, it does, because it is on the foundation and on the rock and on the ground of the work of Christ on the cross. That work with which God was totally satisfied. That work which satisfied divine justice to its very last particle and clause. The work of Christ on the cross. That is the basis. And our discussion of that is to come. But I just want you to hold on to this. That the judge of all the earth will do right. And that even in this declaration, that we are going to see how beautifully, how perfectly, how consummately, completely, in all of this, he does right. Let us pray. Our gracious God, the more we learn of thee, the more we marvel, the more we learn of thy salvation, the more amazed and astonished and dumbfounded we are that God would so love sinners as to provide for them in this way. Lord, give us an appreciation of thyself and of thy work of thy giving of thy Christ. Oh Lord, expand our hearts and our understanding and our appreciation, that we might appreciate what thou hast done. Be with us throughout the rest of this day. Guide our minds and our thoughts. Keep them, Lord, in ways which are pleasing to thyself. Forgive us and cleanse us. In Jesus' name, Amen.